I appreciate Pastor Stewart allowing us to come, allowing me to come and present our work up here in the beautiful Northwest, up in Washington. I see the famous liquid sunshine that you have around here, so that's really beautiful. That's why it's so green around here. Amen. I was noticing the blossoms on the tree. It is a beautiful time of year. Love being up here. I'm from Michigan, of course, Lansing, Michigan. Again, my name is Merle Ayers, and my wife's name is Jan. She's not able to be with me this morning. But we've been in Oregon since January 27th. And so we've been covering the area, going from church to church, presenting the work. And the Lord is blessed. I've been in churches. By the time I get done, I'll probably be in 16 different churches up in the 3 months that we'll be here. And the Lord's blessed and seen many blessings. I've been able to preach and share the gospel and also share our burden. But I will, for just a little bit here, let me just share you my testimony. I grew up in Lansing, Michigan. I grew up right next door to the church. Matter of fact, when you see the video, I'll show you a video here in just a little while. When you look at the video, when they show the front of that church, if you look clear to the right, you'll see a piece of a house. That's the house my dad built. That is the house I grew up in. So that is, so I'm from there. And the Lord saved my soul, and I'll tell you how He did that in a while. But growing up in independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, Dr. Don Green's pastor, and walked to church, of course. We lived right next door. Mom and Dad were active in the church. And my dad, right out after World War II, he built the house there and then joined the church there at Park Memorial. And so we've been there. I've been there my whole life until I got married. But growing up, I heard the gospel plenty of times. And one night, one day, we were in a service. We had kind of like a Boy Scout service. I think it was the Pioneer Club at that time. And a few guys were there. Matter of fact, I think that night there was about three different guys there. Me and the two pastors, two of his sons there. And so we were messing around, causing strife there for the director. And instead of grabbing one of the pastor's kids, he grabbed me and said, come here, took me out of the room. And he started talking to me about it. He says, do you believe the Bible? I said, yeah. Do you believe this? I said, yeah. Do you believe this? Yeah. I said, yes. He said, well, pray. Would you pray this? And I know his heart was earnest. He wanted to share the gospel. So I prayed and said the words that he told me. We came back into the room and he says, tell Steve and John what happened to you. I said, oh, I don't know. He said, well, you just got saved. I said, I did. And so we started acting like a bunch of fools there and all celebrating and stuff. But, you know, that's no way of getting saved. Amen. Can you agree with me? I mean, I just didn't know what was going on. And so I went with that and got baptized and started going and stayed in church. I was 9 years old at that time. And so going on, growing up older, I got to be about 18. Got about 18, boy, I started doubting myself. I said, boy, am I saved? Am I really saved? And so I went forward one night at service, didn't talk to anybody, just went down there and said, Lord, if I'm not saved, would you save me? And I felt like, oh, okay, now I got saved. But, you know, I still didn't have the peace in my heart, Pastor. Didn't have the peace in my heart. Now, I'm not sure if this happens with every person, but I know right then that I was just grasping. So I got married right there at the church, met my wife in the Bible Institute. Matter of fact, I was going to Bible Institute. When we got married, I was 22 years old, and we moved down to the Detroit area where I got a job at Chevrolet Livonia, right there in the suburbs of Detroit, Livonia, Michigan. And started going to church there and was active in the church. But I remember when I got to be about 25, 26, the Lord just started dealing with me. And the Holy Spirit, I'd listen to messages and, man, I didn't know. I said, boy, am I saved? Am I truly saved? And finally, we were going to a junior camp, taking some kids up to junior camp. And I was 27 years old, drove up North Flint, up there camp that we went to. Can't remember the name of it. But I remember the preacher, his name was Bobby Brindo. He was a little people. Back then we called them midgets, but they're little people. And the dwarfism, you know. He was just, I don't know, he was barely 4 foot tall, I think. But they'd get him and he'd climb up on top of a table and he'd walk back and forth and preach. And he was from Georgia, I remember that. And man, he would preach the word of God, and I got so convicted. And I remember getting out of camp, driving home, driving that big bus, taking all the kids back to Livonia, back down to the Detroit area, and just worried in my heart, am I truly saved? And on August 26, 1980, I was at work, Chevrolet Livonia, and God had just burdened my heart so much. At the 7 o'clock, the lunch whistle went off, and I went over and sat down on an old black toolbox, and I said, Lord God, I need to be saved. I am not saved. I trust you. And from that day, boy, the Lord came into my heart. He saved my soul. All those ifs, all those maybe, was settled right there. And so at the age of 27, God saved my soul. And I remember the story of the thief, the two malefactors on the cross, and the one railed on our Lord, and he said, if thou be the Son of God, he said the same thing I did. If. I said, Lord, there is no if about it. I am lost. And he said, if thou be the Son of God. But the other one, the other malefactor, what did he say? He said, can you see this man has done nothing? I'm paraphrasing now. This man has done nothing, but we deserve what we're getting. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Is that what he said? And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. He was saved right there on the cross. And so I'm so glad that God saved me. Well, after that, I got to read my Bible and got to considering, and it wasn't long after that I felt the Lord calling me to be preacher, to preach. Like Billy Kelly, you know Billy Kelly was a Southern preacher. He said he woke up one day and he felt like, he said, I didn't want to go to work, and I had a hankering for chicken, and I knew God had called me to preach. So that's what he said. So that's not how it happened to me, but I just remember that. I remember that story, and I like chicken. And so I surrendered my life to the Lord, went off to Bible college, took my kids, six kids, went down to Massillon, Ohio, went to Bible college, Massillon Baptist College. Dr. Bruce Cummins, pastor at that time. He's now since gone on to be the Lord. Got out of college, graduated from Bible college. So I was later in life, I had six kids. And I was at Bible college one day and saw a bulletin board saying they were looking for a pastor out in Utah. So I said, yeah, that'd be interesting. And I just started thinking about it. And I said, you know what, I think I'm going to call him. So I called him up and I flew out there and preached at the church. But they decided not to call me. But it turned my heart towards Utah. Utah has 400, and I think still today has over 400 cities, towns that doesn't have a gospel witness. All they have is a Mormon ward. And so we went to a little town. So we went out there. God called me, and I went out there and taught at his Christian school for a couple years. And I said, this is not for me. I don't want to teach. It's a wonderful profession, and it's needed, but it's just not what God called me to do. So there was a church open. It was just a building, double wide trailer down in Fillmore, Utah, which is 150 miles south of Salt Lake City. And I went down there and preached for them. There was three people in church that day, Pastor. And I preached to them and went back, and I didn't go the next week. And my wife and I were praying about it. Should we go? Should we go? So finally God gave me freedom. Yes, let's go down there. And so I went down there the next Sunday, two Sundays after I'd preached the first time. And the same people were there, and I said, God has called me here. We're going to come here and take this church, and we're going to pastor this church. And they said, good. And afterwards, they came up to me and they said, Pastor, we just want you to know we're not going to go to church here anymore. So I started with there. Didn't have anybody there but my seven kids. So, you know, I never had less than nine people there. So me and my wife and I and my seven children. And then Lord blessed us with another little baby while we were there. So I've got seven kids, and they're scattered across the country. Stayed there for 20. I was in Utah for 26 years. I was in Fillmore for 23. And the Lord allowed us to leave that church with a pastor. And he left it with another one. And then the third one came in, and he's there now. And they have a nice building. They don't meet in the double-wide trailer anymore. But the Lord blessed us while we were there. That's my testimony. And then after that, I turned, 65 years old, and all my kids had moved out, and I said, it's time to leave. So that's when I turned it over and moved back to the Midwest. And that's when Pastor Jim Green out of Park Memorial Baptist Church there, it's Don Green's son, was pastoring. And he asked me if I'd be interested in being a missionary for their ministry there, the printing ministry. And we considered it, and so we said yes. And since 2022, I've been doing this. And the Lord has blessed. I've been all over the country, been up in New York, been up in Maine, been all the way down to San Diego, and now here I'm in Washington. But I've covered a lot of different churches. We were in Colorado for 2 months, for 2 summers. But the Lord's blessed. And we've seen some fruit for our labor, some folks who have gotten the vision of printing God's Word. That's my personal testimony. So I wanted to share that with you today. But I want to tell you about us. This is our prayer card. It's my wife and I, Jan and Merle Ayers, and they'll be back there. Please help yourself to one of these prayer cards and pray for us. Please do so. You're welcome to one of these. Take one of those. Also, we have back there, we have Bibles and books, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But we also have this little plaque back there, and I want all the kids here, all kids, if you would like to have one of these, please take one. I want you to have it. It's got a nice verse on there, Isaiah 40:31 with the eagle. And you take that, put it up on your wall in your house or wherever you want to do that. And all of you that are young at heart, you can also have one too. But take one of those if you would. I've seen people look at them. We usually sell them online, but I'd like to give them away. So you go ahead and pick one of those up if you'd like to have it. All right, we are local church Bible publishers and Bearing Precious Seed. Bearing Precious Seed prints John and Romans, New Testaments, and whole Bibles. And those Bibles are designated for missionaries around the world. We are in the process right now of doing a Tagalog, John and Romans, and that we're just finishing up. That is the language that's spoken in the Philippines. And we've done that project before, but another missionary, we're printing 150,000 John and Romans. How many have ever seen the John and Romans, the little booklets? I had a bunch of them with me, but on my travels, people have wanted them, so I've given them away. So I'm out of them right now, and I apologize for that. But Pastor, if you'd like some, I'd love to send you some. Do you have any John Romans, Pastor, that you...
Yeah, I've been from a different...
Right. But that's the same thing. We do the same thing. And that is a very effective way to get those into the hands of people. That's what we do. We print them by the thousands, hundreds of thousands. And what we try to do is try to get churches like you to partner with us and help us to buy paper. And this is a little flyer. You can take one of these if you want. I'll leave this one with you, Pastor. And there has 40 Bibles, represents 40 people. And giving $3 a week for 10 weeks, you have enough money to buy a ton of paper. That's $1,200. So $30 a Bible is what that represents. Whether you do it $3 a week or however you do it, that's fine. However you like to do it, if you choose to do it. But it's just a system, a way to get a vision of printing the Word of God and getting it to the hands of people. I'll tell you a few stories here before we show the video. But I was up in Massachusetts. I was in a little town called Clinton, Massachusetts up there, talking to the pastor. And he asked me, "Do you have any Creole? We have several Haitian people that live here. I've dealt with them, and I'd love to have a Creole John and Romans that I could give to them." And I was new at that time. I said, "I don't know, but I'll take a look." So when I got back to the print shop, I started looking around. I found a half a box of Creole, believe it or not. It was 160 Creole John and Romans. Now, of course, that's what they speak in Haiti. It's Haitian people speak that. So I was able to send him 160 John and Romans so he could give them to his people right there in Clinton, Massachusetts. I was ready to take a trip from while we were up there in the New England states up there. I was also at a church in Pelham, New Hampshire. The little church there just starting out. They were meeting in a VA hall. Or VFW. And they were meeting there, and there was a lady there who was going home to Europe. She spoke French, and she said, "Do you have any French?" And we had just got done printing a bunch of French, John and Romans, and whole Bibles. So I was able to send her a handful, but she took them over, gave them to her family over there who speak French over there. And so I was able to help there. We were also able to help a pastor down in San Diego, El Cajon, California, down by San Diego. He said, I have a lot of people here who speak Farsi, and we have a bunch of Farsi. So I was able to take him a whole box of Farsi, John, and Romans. So not only do we help missionaries around the world, we sent 500,000 John and Romans to Asia, to Turkey, and Russia, and all those countries. There was other countries in there. We sent 500,000. We've sent them to Germany. We sent them all over the place so people can have the Word of God. I'm going to leave you with one more thing, and then I'm going to show the video here. But in this world, we have, what, 8.2 billion people. 8.2 billion. And let's say there's 200 million at a conservative estimate, 200 million Bible-believing Christians in the world. And let's cut that down even a little bit more. Let's say we have 100 million dedicated Bible-believing Christians who can witness and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that if every person, if 100 million Christians would speak to 82 people about the Lord, that's 8.2 billion. You see, it is possible to get the Word of God out. It is possible to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is, and what did Jesus say? He said, you're to go to all the world. Amen? Preach the gospel to every creature. And so that's what our goal is. The goal of Bearing Precious Seed and Local Church Bible Publishers is to get the gospel, get the Bible into the hands of every person in the world. And you will see the video here, and just pay attention how many portions of scriptures that we have produced so far. This is, the video was taken 5 years ago, that part of it anyways, and it'll be a little bit less than what we have done now. But just think about it. If we can get more people to get more involved, to give just a little bit to so we can print more scriptures, keep going, keep printing, keep sending. We've got a project coming up right now. I think it's 250,000 Spanish, English, bilingual John and Romans that we're going to be printing and putting together and getting them into the hands of people that need it. So that is a little bit of what we do there. The other part of the ministry is Local Church Bible Publishers, and that's the one that prints these Bibles. That's the Bibles that are in the back. This we do as a service to churches. We don't mark up our Bibles. They are what we sell these at cost. We don't make money on them. And as a result, we do come up a shortfall once in a while. And so we have to, that Local Church Bible Publishers is also. When we first started that out, we started out as a mission. People gave and gave for that. Right now, we try to concentrate on Bearing Precious Seed, but our Local Church Bible Publishers should also use the help to print these Bibles. They're a good quality leather-bound King James Bible. They're different, styles are in different formats. We have Old Schofield, we have Cambridge cameos, we have other, and I'm not sure what the other ones are, but they're different ones. We have a super giant print back there. That's probably our most expensive one, and that's $77. I have some fancy cover ones. If you're interested in those, I'll tell you how much those are. But they're done. Those are just a fancy cover, and they're, I think I have Stingray, and I have a shark skin back there. And I can't afford them, so maybe you can. But this is an Old Schofield, but I was telling the people earlier, the notes have been removed in the center. And I'm out of that. I just sold my last one. If you're interested in those, we do have those online. Anything that we sell here, we sell online. And listen, folks, it doesn't matter to me. We just want to be a blessing to you. We just want to be a service to you. Like I said, don't make any money on those Bibles. Now there's some books there. I'm down pretty low on those. I've just ordered some more. They just haven't come in yet to where I'm at. The books are marked up just a little bit. It might get us a tank of gas once in a while. But the Bibles, they are at cost, And the most expensive one is $77, but they will last you a lifetime. I've got Bibles that I've had from this ministry for well over 10 years, and they're still holding up. And if you use it constantly, like I do this one, I mean, you will see some wear and tear on it, but they're good quality leather-bound King James Bibles. You go online. I bought my wife a special Bible online. I paid $220 for it, I think. It's because it was yellow, and she likes yellow. So you have to please the wife, amen, get her something she likes. So that's what I did. And but folks, if you are interested in, like I said, and I want to mention this because I'm not trying to sell you these Bibles, I'll provide you, but if you order them online, you'll pay shipping, and you'll pay $20 or more to have them shipped to you, all right? And but take advantage, any of the Bibles that I have back there, there's no shipping cost, amen? Just they are what they say they are. And we do take cards. I don't like to say that. I said that a few times. My wife, she didn't like it. I said, we don't sell, but we do take cards. And so if you have a card, we'll take a card. There is a slight upcharge because I have to pay that. And but if you want to use your card, you can do that for those Bibles. At this time, I'd like to show the video. If brother back there would get that queued up. And just pay attention to it. At the end of the video, towards the end, is the newest part. We were able to go to Kenya, Africa in August of last year. What a blessing that was. I got to preach to over 4,000 different people there. Mostly kids, but we got to go into a ladies' prison, a women's prison. And we went to some churches. We were in a Bible college commencement there, and the Lord just blessed. In that last part of that video, you'll see some of those pictures. Go ahead, brother.
Over 40 years, we've seen scriptures taken all over the world from this ministry.
The Lord has allowed us to print over 30 million portions of scriptures in over 20 different languages.
We've seen hundreds of souls saved because of these Bibles. These Bibles have gone to remote places that only helicopters can go.
Psalm 68:11 says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it." I'm Dr. John Green. I'm the director here at Parker Memorial Baptist Church Printing Ministries. And I work with a great staff of guys and gals that help us on a voluntary basis. We began our ministry in 75 under our pastor, Dr. Don Green, who had the vision to have a worldwide ministry.
I said, "Lord, could you let me have a worldwide ministry out of our church here?" Well, God honored my prayer. And it was shortly after that we began our ministry of printing the Bible and printing gospel tracts and booklets. And we've been at it for years now.
And since that time, we've provided 30 million scriptures around the world in various formats, various languages. Out of that effort grew also the need to produce a quality leather King James Bible and preserving the Word of God. And so from that came the local church Bible publishing ministry.
This is a Bible publishing ministry that produces quality leather-bound Bibles to people who could order them online through localchurchbiblepublishers.com.
We've been at that for over 20 years, and we probably produce around 10,000 quality leather Bibles every year. They are available at cost through our website. And then another ministry grew from the same operation called Calvary Publishing.
To help churches with their promotional needs, flyers, tracts,
just about everything they could ever need in terms of ministry, from business cards to tracts, bulletins, banners, offering envelopes.
Also, we have a book ministry where we print books and glue bind them right here on the property so that others could have good gospel literature. We also have special printing projects that we do for other churches, customized John and Roman covers.
And all that, again, at cost. And we're thankful that God has allowed us to serve Him, especially in being involved in the Word of God. Most of our workers that are here are volunteers, or they're supported as missionaries.
We've been bringing materials down to our church and putting them together at our facility and bringing them back up here for the finished product.
They are putting those scriptures together so that somewhere, in some place, someone could find the message of Jesus Christ and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior.
The great thing is it gives our people a chance to actually put their hands on the Word of God that's eventually either going to get into the hands of a military man or woman or onto the foreign mission field.
These Bibles have gone to remote places that only helicopters can go. Some of these Bibles were taken by boats. They were put in backpacks and delivered. Some of these Bibles were even placed upon different carts that were pulled through areas. Some were put on planes. Some were put in people's bags. And just God used many, many ways to get 40,000 whole Bibles in the Gulf province of Papua New Guinea.
It's been a joy to see these Bibles printed not only in English, but also in 40 different languages or so. And they are spread around the world.
We do Spanish bilingual, French, Burmese. We have a big Burmese project right now. We've sent scriptures to India in the language of Tamil and German language. We just sent New Testaments there last week. So the Lord's blessed us. We have Arabic Bibles in-house that are ready and waiting. We are getting ready to do a big job in Urdu for an Afghan population here in the United States. And we're just thankful that God has provided this through local churches giving and helping us buy paper so that we can get the scriptures printed and into the hands of the missionaries to do the work of the Lord. It's the seed. It's the Word of God. You're not going to have a harvest without a seed.
Well, most people know that Dr. Green went home to glory back in February of 22. Had a great ministry, great life. God used him tremendously. But God gave him a vision to reach the world with the scriptures. And it was from that heart that our Bearing Precious Seed ministry began. We've had an increase in our number of workers. We've had a couple of new missionary families come on board. They're raising their support. And they're spreading the word across the country, raising money for our paper. And it's been a real blessing to have them on board. Also, we're seeing more and more volunteers in our own church come out to collating and to help the assembly of the scriptures and do other tasks, the trimming, the packing, and so forth. It's just exciting when I go into the shop to see all those people there working. It really energizes me, and I'm sure they're excited to have something to do, look forward to serve the Lord, put their hands on those Gospels of John's, Romans, New Testaments, and other things that we produce. There are scores of churches that help us with paper. They give money for us to buy tons of paper. We buy it by the truckload. And so we accumulate this money over a number of weeks and months, enables us to get paper at a low cost. And, of course, then we can print the scriptures and make it available. We have a number of churches, all between 10 and 12 churches, regularly receive shipments from us of scriptures. They help to assemble. We call these seed line churches. They get the signatures, which is the parts of the booklet, and they get the covers. They assemble them, they staple it, and then they trim it, pack it in a box, label it, and get it ready to go to the mission field. Again, these seed line churches are very important. A number of churches have come and gone, but right now we have between 10 and 12 that do regular seed line work for us. It's a blessing. It's just a blessing to see how God works through so many people and the excitement that goes across the country as we visit these churches. And again, I want to testify our gratitude, appreciation for all the churches, the individuals who have helped us through the years. And we trust that the Lord will enable you to keep on keeping on. And we're going to keep on printing scriptures and getting them spread around the world. That's our goal. That's our desire. not only fulfilling our pastor's vision that he laid down years and years ago, but we believe this has a major part in reaching the world with the gospel.
We trust that you will partner with us to help us reach the world with the Word of God and gospel literature. In our Lord's final message to his disciples, he said this, "The gospel must be published amongst all nations."
The first part of that video was done about 5 years ago. So they said 30 million portion scriptures. We've probably done closer to 35 million since then. So the Lord is blessed, and we just keep adding on to that. Let me just read to you a portion of scriptures found in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 25. And this is why we do it. Then this is why when we first started, when the Lord allowed us to be missionaries for Bearing Precious Seed and Local Church Bible Publishers, I thought of this verse number 23. But I want to read it in context in verse number 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Here's the verse I want you to look at. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flowers of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." That's why we take the word of God. It's how we get saved. Amen. It's how you trusted the Lord. You heard the word. You believed the word. You believe all that this word, this Bible has taught. And you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't, you need to. You need to trust the Lord today. It is a great privilege and a pleasure to try to spread the Word of God in the Word of God. We also have, since our trip to Kenya, we were there for 10 days there. Like I said, we got to preach and you saw some of those pictures there. There was a bunch of men standing, holding up some tracts I'd given them. They were there waiting. They have motorcycles. They use them as taxi cabs. I've seen 3 and 4 people on one of those motorcycles traveling through the street. It is a dangerous place to live, I'm telling you. And it is people walking all over the place. Most people don't have cars. But I saw them there next to the road, and we had stopped to get something, and I walked over and gave them each one of those gospel tracts. And they were glad to have them. In those third world countries, and a lot of folks would tell you, when they get printed material, they don't throw it away. They don't throw it on the ground. I'm in Lansing, Michigan, right next door to East Lansing, where the Michigan State Spartans. And we go out there during football season, and we'll pass out tracts to all those thousands of people that go into the football stadium. And I will give out, we'd stand there, and they'll line up. I'll give out tract after tract after tract. And after once in a while, the line will stop, and I'll take a walk and go up towards where the stadium is, and I'll try to pick up all the tracts that they have thrown on the ground, because many of them do. They don't do that in foreign countries. They'll read it. John and Romans cost us about 10 cents to produce. 10 cents. That's quite an investment, isn't it? I mean, that is quite a value, and they will read that book. We want to do a Swahili English translation, John and Romans, and whole Bible. Swahili is spoken in 14 countries in Africa, and other countries are adopting it in. It is a common language in on the continent of Africa. They speak it in Kenya. They speak it in Rhodesia. They speak it, Rwanda, I believe. They speak it in Tanzania, and several of those others. Our Swahili is spoken, and we want to do that. That project's going to cost us right around $45,000 to get whole Bibles and to get John and Romans, but to get a good translation close to the King James as best we can. And so what I want to say also is that 10 cents for a copy, a lot of those Bibles would be passed from person to person to person, and it'll reach up to 7 people, it says. The studies have shown up to 7 people will get that for 10 cents to reach 7 people. That's quite a value for what we're doing. Now at this time, I want to take a little bit of time to, if you have any questions. Yes. No, no, we don't have any of that. You can order our books and stuff and that, but we don't have any apps of that kind or any kind of translation. Is that what you want to know? Yeah, we don't have any. None of that is online as of right now, that's for sure. So it's good. It's a good idea. Any other questions? Any other questions about our ministry? Any questions about me personally? Anything about... how we put them together, how we get our translations. Yes.
Do you produce Bibles in Braille?
No, we don't do Braille. No, no Braille. Yeah, I know. I would like to. I don't know how thick they'd be. You'd have to have one page for each. Do they do two? They don't do two-sided Braille, do they?
Do
they? Okay, all right, all right. You know, I know that. No, we don't do Braille. We haven't done Braille. I'll ask. There might be. We could do that, but that would be a process, and I'm sure that the cost of that would be probably quite a bit more, I would imagine. And I don't know how they do it. Yes.
One other question about the Seedline churches. Could you explain that?
Well, the Seedline Churches is churches like yours or anybody that would be interested in putting together the John and Romans. If you saw the video, they're putting together, the Bible comes in signatures about that long, that wide, and they're about 100 pieces. That web press that you saw there that was running, that's called a web press, and that runs the scripture out and gets all done. It folds it up, and then you have the John and Romans. I have some in there in the back. You can come and look at them later. I should have them with me, but they're in one of my bins back there if you're interested in looking at it. But what they do is they take that, and you saw in the video, they tear it in half, and then they have one section they put inside the other section. So whatever it is, scripture that they might have, and I'll just use this for illustration. So you'll have one section like this, and they'll take the other section and insert it like that. And what that does is that puts that scripture all in order. So from John 1 till Romans, at the end of Romans, how many chapters in Romans? I don't know. Anyways, to the end of the Romans. And what they do is they put those together, and then once they're together, then they pass them over to the people who staple. Did you see the stapling done? They put that on that little vise, little staplers, and they staple two staples on the edge, and then they box them up. Then they trim them. And once they trim them, that loosens up all those pages, so then you can open up and read the whole thing. So a Seedline Church will get together the people. Some will fold the covers. Some will insert the script. Some will divide the scripture. Others will insert the scripture. Others will staple. And then the final process will be to trim and then box them up. And that's what's done. If you're interested, I have a flyer I'll send to you. That's what Seedline Churches do. And what they do is they help us. They're all voluntary, and they help us to put those scriptures together. And there's some things that that we ask that each church does. That does the seed line, and that would be included in that, support our ministry in some way. And it doesn't cost anything, but we do ask them to be invested in it. So that's what the seed line churches. Did I answer that question? Did I answer it okay? Sometimes I kind of stammer tammer here, but that's it. Yes. Yes, yeah. Matter of fact, Kenya, we sent some over there to Kenya. They got the scripture, and once they got them there, they wanted money. They wanted a lot of money. That one place, they wanted $75,000 to let those scriptures get in. And man, that really raises the price of that, those scriptures. But when you're sending hundreds of thousands, sometimes we have to do it. Matter of fact, when we were in Kenya, we went and spoke to a lady. She was the warden there at the woman's prison, and she knew some people in the customs. She said, next time you want to send some more, contact me, and I'll be able to help you get those in. But sometimes we do have problems at customs getting those scriptures. And that's money, but there's other countries you can't, you know, they don't want the scripture in there. I had a man tell me that he used to take scripture into China, and they would tell him, you go in and he takes suitcases. And they every once in a while they'd spot check them. And they would confiscate any of those scripture that came in. But here's the interesting thing, is the leader of that group that was sending scripture into China said, they're not going to harm you, they're not going to arrest you, they'll just take the scripture. And he said, just let them take it. Because in the end, all those scriptures will end up on the black market, and they'll get into China anyways. And so people have to pay for them, but they'll still get in there. So it's interesting, and that's in China. Other places, it's not so. I've heard of some terrible things happening in the Arab country when they catch you in scripture, and I'm not going to repeat it. It's brutal what they do. And so, yeah, once in a while, there's a hard time, and there's Couriers for Christ. There's other missions that do those things also. There's a Bearing Precious Seed in Kentucky. All they do is ship scripture. There's another ministry called Beams. I think you ever heard of Beams? They will come in, they'll bring Bibles in boxes, and they'll get the people to send, because that's a big cost too, is sending to ship scripture. So we're not the only ones that do it, folks, and we're not in competition, we're in cooperation. And we want the scripture, it doesn't matter how it is. And I was in a meeting with Bearing Precious Seed out of Milford, a guy by the name of Dale Moody, wonderful guy, but he was working with First Bible, who was trying to get the scripture translated. And I said this in front of everybody, and I'll say it, they might do more, but we do it better. So, I'm just joking, of course. But any other questions, you can ask me. Yes. Yes.
Specifically in Islamic or Muslim countries, how is the success rate, and have you run into any opposition?
Well, yeah, that's the country, I tell you, they can be brutal over there when you try to get scriptures in. But to local Arabs, it's fine. I'll tell you this one story and I'll be done. But we have some opposition getting those in, but there are ministries. I know of a man in Dearborn Heights, near Detroit, who ministers to the Muslim. They have a great outreach to them. I'm trying to think of his name, and I can't remember. Gates is his name, Brother Gates. And he's got a tremendous ministry. He was in Egypt for years, and he had to leave. And so he's there trying to reach those. One last story. I was on my flight back from France. We flew to Nairobi, and then went to Eldoret's, Kenya. We ministered there, and then we came back to Nairobi and flew to France, and then from France to Detroit. On the flight from France to Detroit, I sat next to a young man who was reading the Bible, or reading a book, and it was Arabic, I noticed, and I got to talking to him. He was interested, and I told him what I did, and told him, I shared with him the gospel. The Lord just opened the door. And I said, do you have an Arabic Bible? He said, no, I've never read an Arabic Bible. I said, I will send you one. I got his address, and when I got back, I took one of those Bibles that you saw in that video, boxed it up, and I sent it to him. And he was an emergency room doctor out of Ford Hospital in Macomb County. And so I was able to send that out. And so we try to reach Arabic people. And Farsi, of course, that's an Arab Middle Eastern language. And we get those out, but Yeah, we've had, and we have some success in reaching those folks with the Word of God, yes. All right, if there's any other questions, please see me back there, and I'll answer any question. I also have that John and Romans that is a signature back there if you'd be interested in looking at it. Thank you very much, Pastor.